Come on, somebody give God some praise in the house today. Hallelujah. Turn to somebody to say, neighbor, that was good. Amen, somebody. I don't know about you, but that was good. Amen. 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 Won't you turn with me to Matthew, the 17th chapter, the 19th verse. Matthew, the 17th chapter, the 19th verse. We are so grateful to God for these voices of hope and the excellence day in and day out. Amen. We're just so grateful for how the Lord uses them in such a phenomenal fashion. Matthew, the 17th chapter, the 19th verse. Matthew 17, verse 19. It reads as us, then the disciples came to Jesus in private and asked, why couldn't we drive it out? He replied, because you have so little faith. Truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Church, say amen. My brothers and my sisters, I ask you to join me in a word of prayer to share on the sermon subject today. It's time to shake up the world. It's time to shake up the world. Let us look to the Lord. God, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this moment that is yours. We thank you, God, for your hand and for your power. Now, God, in Jesus' name, I ask, God, that you would grab a hold of this, your humble servant. God, you know, God, everything I need. Now, God, even give me more. Send the preacher. Send the Holy Ghost. Save, heal, deliver, set the captive free. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. It's time to shake up the world. My brothers and my sisters, I know that, and we talked about the fact that I was blessed this summer, blessed these past 2 weeks to be away in Cairo, Egypt, and in Johannesburg. And it was an interesting thing. It's an interesting thing because when I went to Egypt, I wanted to make sure that I was able to wake up and have a view of the pyramids. I wanted to make sure. You know, sometimes on some birthdays, when they're big birthdays, you just need something to give yourself an extra juice just to keep you from mess. Amen, somebody? And I said, God, if I can see the pyramids on my birthday, that can keep me from a midlife crisis. Amen, somebody? Amen. I'm getting old, Lord, and so I just need to see the pyramids. I'm going to believe I'm doing all right. Amen, somebody? Hey, cuz, what's up? Good to see you, baby. And so as I was sitting there looking at the pyramids, and I was sitting there dealing, I thought, Reverend Bowers, that the pyramids were going to be the highlight of my trip. I thought that the Egyptian Museum was going to be the highlight. I thought that being at these places that were thousands of years old, and so I was in the pyramids. I even went inside some of the step pyramids. I was able to see all these fascinating things, but God surprised me along my journey, because I thought that much of the highlight of my journey was going to be my trips to the pyramids, my riding on the camels, my looking at the Sphinx, and my doing all those things, and those were amazing. Those were great highlights. Those were life-changing. But what blew my mind was how much my life was impacted by some visits I had to the churches there. Because Reverend Bowers, when we were in seminary, they taught us, Elias Farah Zaje Jones, about the Coptic Church. Amen. Somebody taught us about the Egyptian Coptic Orthodox Church, which was one of the earliest churches in the world. And I was able to go there and able to visit. I knew I was going to visit the pyramids, but I didn't realize I was going to spend a lot of time visiting churches. And I spent this one time, I went to this one church called the Hanging Churches, because it was a church that was built around the 3rd, 4th century A.D. In other words, the church is about 1700 years old. It's this church that was built on top of the turrets of a fortress, because they had to worry back in those days about the Roman government persecuting Christians and killing Christians, and so they had to put their church in a place that was able to be fortified and able to be. They even had escape hatches for the preacher so that when the Roman government came to try to kill them, they could be able to get out. I was at this church that had been there for 1,600 years called the Hanging Church, and I decided to have a little prayer for y'all. Now I got down, asked the two sure, God, could I pray? He said, yeah, you can pray. By the time I got finished praying, I got up. He said, are you okay? Because I had been down about 10, 15 minutes. Amen, somebody. I prayed for every one of y'all. Amen, somebody. At a place where they've been praying for over 1,600 years. I said, they've been worshiping here for 1,600 years. Amen, somebody. I'm going to connect my prayers to their prayers and see what the Lord's going to do. And so if something felt better in your body this past week, it's because I was praying for you. That if something felt better, if your kids started acting better this year, it's because I was praying for you. Amen, somebody. I was praying in this place called the Hanging Church, and I realized after I left that I heard the story of one of the great things that happened at this church. It said that it was around the 9th century AD, around 972, between 972 and 975, the king or the caliph of Egypt at that time, a Muslim brother, Caliph Al-Mu'izz, he used to hold these debates. He'd hold these debates between the Muslim scholars and the Christian scholars and the Jewish scholars, and they would sit and debate with each other. And the king or the caliph sat there and he held this debate, and they were in the midst of one of the debates, and it looked like the Christian guy was winning or getting his points across. And so the Jewish brother was able to pose a question for the Christian brother. The Jewish brother posed a question for the Christian brother and said, look, in your scripture, and then he quoted a scripture that I'm reading right here. It said, in this scripture, it says that if you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, that you can speak to a mountain and the mountain has got to move. That the caliph turned to the Christian brother and said, is this in your scriptures? And the Christian brother, the Pope, Pope Abram of the Coptic Orthodox Church said, yes, that is in our scriptures. And so the caliph said, well, these mountains in front of us right here, that if they are not moved in 3 days, Lord have mercy, then we're going to kill every Christian in Egypt. And so the Pope says to the caliph, okay, give me 3 days and we'll see what we can do about that. And so the Pope, Lord have mercy, he said, give me three. Amen, somebody. We're going to see what we can figure about that. And so the Pope goes back to church. He goes back to the church I prayed in, the Hanging Church. He goes back to the Hanging Church and he calls for prayer and fasting for all of the Christians all throughout Egypt. Prayer and fasting for all the Christians all throughout Egypt. And they pray and fast for 3 days. And in the midst of the prayer and the fasting, the Pope has a vision from the Virgin Mary. And the Virgin Mary says, there is one Christian who has the kind of faith that can move that mountain. And she said, his name is Simon the Tanner. And so the Pope goes and the Virgin tells him where to find Simon the Tanner. Simon the Tanner is a one-eyed brother because one time he looked at a sister, caught a glimpse of her. She had picked up her little dress and caught a glimpse of her calf. And he lusted and he said that it was better to poke out his eye. Amen, somebody. And remember the scripture said, better to poke out your eye than to lust. Amen, somebody. He had poked out his own eye. That was a brother of faith. Amen, somebody. And so you've got Simon the Tanner. And Simon the Tanner, he goes and he tells the Pope, look, that God can move that mountain. When you go to the mountain, I want you to get the caliph and everybody there. I want you to go to the mountain and I want you to say, Lord, have mercy three times and watch what the Lord is going to do. The story goes, this is not the history goes. Amen, somebody. You can Google. Amen, somebody. The history goes that the Pope goes up and he gets the caliph. He gets the Jewish leader. He gets all of the leaders and all of those who are around, and he gets to the mountain and he says, Lord, have mercy three times, and all of a sudden an earthquake hits. Lord, have mercy. And the mountain starts to jump. I'm trying to help somebody here today. Now, I told you all, I prayed in the same church that the Pope prayed that God would move the mountain. And what the Lord whispered to me, Lord have mercy, in the midst of that church, is it for Community of Hope AME Church, the year 2019 is going to be the year of mountain moving faith. It's going to be the year in which we tell mountains they've got to move. I had to ask myself, what kind of faith can this Pope have to even answer the caliph's question that, okay, I'll be back in 3 days and we're going to believe this mountain's going to move? That what does it take to believe that you can cause an earthquake? What does it take to believe that you can cause a mountain to hop? What does it take to believe that you can cause a mountain to skip? What does it take to believe that you can cause a mountain to jump rope? And I've come by to talk to you, the Community of Hope, to let you know that while this year is still the year to occupy, that by the time we get finished occupying, that by 2019, God's going to be moving mountains, and you're going to have a level of faith that God can do things for you, Lord have mercy, that you haven't seen done before. Turn to your neighbor and say, the mountain's about to move. The mountain's about to move. The mountain's about to move. One of the first things I believe that you've got to understand if you're going to have mountain moving faith is that, one, you can't move what you won't face. Turn to your neighbor and say, you can't move what you won't face. One of the challenges for many of us is not that God don't want to move the mountain, is that we keep acting like the mountain's not there. Is there anybody in the house today that can admit with yourself you've got some mountains in your life that you keep acting like are not there? You spend too much time in your life walking around that mountain. You spend too much time in your life avoiding that mountain. You got in your GPS for your GPS to show you any route that don't go by the mountain. Amen, somebody. And you're going all out of your way when God is saying, I didn't put the mountain there to make you have to go around it. But I put enough stuff in you to get the mountain to move. Somebody, you got a mountain in your finances, but it's time for that mountain to move. Somebody, you've got a mountain in your health situation, but it's time for that mountain to move. Somebody, you got a mountain with your children, but it's time for that mountain to move. And I've come by to tell somebody in the desert that your mountain moving faith isn't just so that it impacts you, but it impacts everything around you. The problem with the church is that we've got hill moving faith. And we've been busy moving our own heels, moving the stuff in my situation and the stuff in my circumstances. But when I've got mountain moving faith, it impacts everybody around me. Mountain moving faith transforms neighborhoods. Mountain moving faith breaks generational curses. Mountain moving faith causes things to be not as if they are. Have I got anybody in the house today that said, baby, I'm going to have me some mountain moving faith? Mountain moving faith don't just get my credit straight, gets my whole family's credit straight, gets my whole neighborhood's economic situation better, because I've got mountain moving faith. One of the things is you've got to have mountain moving faith that you've got to face it. The second thing is it doesn't take as much as you think. Turn to your neighbor and say, it doesn't take as much as you think. Doesn't take as much as you think. That, remember, the scripture says that if you've got faith the size of a mustard seed, that Jesus is talking to his disciples and saying, look, I've done so much for you, but I just need you to just get a little bit of faith. And if you can take a little bit of faith, you can move this mountain. It says nothing will be impossible for you. Somebody in the house today, God isn't causing you to have to be Billy Graham. God just calling you to be faithful with what you got. And if you can be faithful just with a little bit, then God can take you and make you ruler over many. If you don't believe me, I want to thank God that even while I was gone, I was able to see what was happening on social media. And on social media, something blew up because it was a story on Fox News covering a story that somebody else had put out about a brother by the name of Jeffrey Owens. You all know Jeffrey Owens used to be in the Cosby Show. And Fox News had put out a picture somebody took because brother Jeffrey was working at Trader Joe's bagging groceries. Brother Jeffrey was working at Trader Joe's bagging groceries. And folks were trying to act like that was some great fall from grace. That because he had been on the Cosby Show a gazillion years ago, that now for him to bag groceries was some kind of fall from grace. But I'm so glad that Brother Jeffrey Owens didn't decide that when he needed to take care of his family, that something was too small for him. Or that labor was too little for him. Can I tell somebody something? There is no work that's honest work that is too small for you. But all work is honorable. And if you'll just do a good day's work, Lord have mercy, you can watch what the Lord will do. But I like the way the story goes, because he's sitting there bagging groceries. Brother used to be at the top of the game on the Cosby Show, sitting there bagging groceries at Trader Joe's with his head held high, taking care of his family. Somebody takes a picture and feels like they're going to shame him. Like it's shameful to bag groceries. They put it on Fox News. Like it's shameful to bag groceries. I could picture how ashamed and frustrating it could have been for him saying, I'm just trying to take care of my family. And now all over the world, they talking about me and the fact that I'm bagging groceries. But sometimes, if you'll be faithful over a few things, God will move your mountain. And what the devil means for evil, God will turn it around for your good. And God allowed what Fox News meant for evil to get Tyler Perry to look at it and say, brother, I got a job for you this season. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, if you'll just have a little faith, if you'll just work the little bit that you've got, if you'll just hold on with the little bit that you've got, then God will move the mountain. That's it. Listen, I'm gonna chit-chat with y'all a little bit. Is that all right? Chit-chat this last point. I ain't preached for a month, so my wind ain't what it used to be. I got to get on the treadmill, amen. I've been eating at restaurants all day, every day. Room service. Creme brulee at 1 a.m. Like, I like some creme brulee and an order of popcorn on the side. Amen. Thank you so much. Hashtag real story. Listen, one of the other things that I saw, and I'm going to talk to Stu because I want to help you. One of the other things that I saw, and it was a big news piece, is that you saw that Nike, for their anniversary, decided to have as one of the figureheads for their new ad campaign, Brother Colin Kaepernick. Nike, amen, somebody. Now, folks went crazy. Some folks, oh my God, blah, blah. They start burning shoes. Amen, somebody. They tickle me. They'll burn shoes off of Kaepernick. Amen, somebody. But ain't going to burn nothing when we getting shot in the streets. Amen. Amen. They ain't doing nothing about the brother who, an officer in Dallas, ran up in his house, shot him. Talking about she made a mistake. How you make a mistake in my house? So, everybody has talked about let's go buy Nikes. I want to help you. And I appreciate the buying of Nikes. That's wonderful. I want us not to be revolutionary consumers, but revolutionary investors. If Nikes cost a ball $50 to $200, and Nike stock is at $80, are y'all trying to hear what I'm saying? I don't want you to get so caught up talking about I'm being a revolutionary because I'm going and buying my kid $200 shoes and they don't got a savings account. I want you to be a revolutionary by saying I'm going to go and buy me a couple of pieces of stock and put them in some Chuck Taylors that's also owned by Nike. See, we've been allowing ourselves to spend $200 to help our kids to try to have a sense of self-esteem. You mean to teach them how to live in Bobos and be strong? Oh, I can't get nobody in here to know what Bobos are. I used to wear Bobos. And knew that joint gave you character. Everybody need to wear Bobos at least once in your life. Amen. It'll give you character. Teach you how to Joan back. Amen. Amen. You need to learn how to Joan back. Joan, that you got to have a snappy reply. Listen. Pray for me, Dr. Pitts. Pray for me. Just pray for me. You're not praying hard enough. You need the faith the size of a mustard seed. You can help your pastor. One of the things that gets me, though, about and was amazing about Brother Kaepernick's ad when I watched it, I actually watched it, was at the end, he said, "Don't ask me if your dream is crazy. Ask me if it's crazy enough." That you need to stop. That's what the scripture's about. Stop aiming so low. 2019 for the Community of Hope AME Church is going to be the year that we stop praying for God to move hills. And we start praying for God to move mountains. In other words, we're going to have to say, well, not is your dream, Pastor, is this dream crazy? No, it's not crazy enough. No, that dream will be good for you, but I need a dream that's going to help shift this whole neighborhood. I need a dream that's going to shift this whole county, this whole state. I need a dream that years from now, decades from now, I sat at the pyramids, thousands of years old, and you could still see the color of the paint on the walls on the inside. Thousands of years. I need a dream that's going to last thousands of years. I looked at the fact that they were able to take papyrus, they were able to take a plant and be able to make paper out of it and draw on that joker, and thousands of years later, you can see it like they did it yesterday. And I can write stuff on a sheet of paper right now, and daggone it, by 20 years, it's going to be faded, crumbled, corrupted, and all that kind of stuff. But thousands of years, because they were able to do something that stood the test of time. I need us to dream bigger. I need us to dream crazier. Why do we have to wait till 2019? Because you still got some occupying to do, amen? And we got to get you ready. Because as soon as 19 hits, I want us to have a vision of possibility for your life, for your children, for your family, for your community, that is so big people think you're crazy. They thought Noah was crazy till the rain came. But he kept building that ark. And everybody who could get with the plan got saved. Because he was crazy enough. Somebody here today, my initial altar call is a different kind of an altar call. It's an altar call for people who are believing, not even that you have the vision for the crazy enough, too crazy yet, but you're believing that God can give you a vision for something bigger in your life. That you want God to show you bigger. That you want God to show you more. And you don't have to be in more to believe for more. Ask Jeffrey Owens. All you have to do is be faithful right where you are with a belief that where you are doesn't limit where you can go. Is that making sense? If you're here today and either you have a mountain in front of you you need moved, or you're asking God for vision to crazier than any vision you've ever had for your life, I want you to stand where you are. I want you to stand where you are. I want you to stand where you are. God bless your heart. God bless your heart. God bless your heart. God bless your heart. I'm going to just shake your hand. God bless you. I know that's right. Bless your heart. God bless your heart.